Welcome to Blind Level Tech. This isn't just accessible tech talk. This is technology on a whole new level. We're showing you just how possible it is to live the life you want.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Blind Level Tech. I am your host, Evan Starnes. I thought I'd do an episode on taking your podcast on the road, as it was a question that has been asked to me by a couple of people that have their own podcast or are interested in getting into podcasts. And I have done some field recording both for this show, Blind Level Tech, and also for our show, The Blind Chick, which was After Sight. So I kind of thought I'd talk about that in this episode, and at least what I do for field recording. Now, what I do might be vastly different than what some other professional podcasters do. In fact, some professional podcasters might think, oh my gosh, you were so wrong. You got to do it this way. The way that I do it works for me, and it's convenient, and it does sound good. So first of all, I think the question to ask, though, is should you take your podcast on the road? Because especially if you're just getting into podcasting, it's your new thing, it might be your first inclination, especially if you're going on a vacation or to an event. But the thing that you have to consider as well is that you don't want your podcast to take away from the actual experience of the vacation and or event that you're going to. A great example, actually, came from CSUN, of course. And you're going to hear, I don't know about it a lot, but you'll hear about CSUN a few times in this episode. But the best example is CSUN because, well, I had a plan to record a ton of episodes, but I was really just focused more on trying to record episodes, and I was focused so much on trying to actually record and capture audio that I think I could have spent a lot more time actually going and exploring different exhibits and going to maybe to more speeches and other aspects of CSUN as opposed to just trying to fill up my recorder's SD card. If you decide that you want to, you know, take your show on the road, have a plan of what do you want to capture where you're going? Do you want to capture the event itself? So just maybe do some general recording. And if you do, you probably might need to, and either way, might need to actually sign a waiver or a media release or something like that with the event hosts prior, you know, if you're going to capture media at their event. That is assuming that it isn't an event where, you know, people will already be there, you know, recording. But what do you want to record? So, yeah, like I said, event audio, do you want to maybe walk around and interview people, you know, news reporter style? Or are you just going out for a long period of time and you just, you know, need to keep your podcast up and running? If you are going to be doing on the field, as I call them, just interviews, the best thing that you can do is know how to sell your show. And some people call it an elevator speech, but have just like a short, tiny little spiel about what your show is and what it's about and why you want to interview the person. So for instance, for Blind Level Tech, you know, Blind Level Tech, it's a fun show about the use of technology from assistive technology to gadgets and appliances, and it's meant to present technology in a format that is friendly to those to all levels of technical experience. Now, as you can tell, I haven't really perfected my spiel a whole lot, but that's the gist of it. So, and that really is how you will sell people on, oh, hey, I'd like to talk to this person. And, you know, I would be, this is how you interest them in a potential interview. And as far as questions, sometimes it is nice to be able to just have a general conversational style of interview and not like a set list of questions. So if you just want to talk, you know, if you just want to capture people's experiences at an event, you can just literally, you know, ask them, you know, how did you feel about the event? What was your favorite thing that you did at this event? What would you like to see improved? That's kind of a matter of you just follow them based on how they respond. Now, that being said, if you're trying to capture specific information only and not, you know, just have a general conversation, I usually like to keep, especially for these field interviews, I like to keep it to no more than three questions. As you can spend as long as you need on these, but if you're standing, you know, doing interviews reporter style, I really, from past experiences, would try to not go over 5 minutes. And you can definitely cover three questions in the span of 5 minutes. So what I've talked about so far really concerns the aspect of on the field / in reporter style, I guess news reporter style interviews. That being said, if you're just trying to, you know, record episodes just as normal, but you're on the road, then the matter is finding a good recording space. And really, the best recording space you can find is probably your hotel room. If you're staying in a hotel, your hotel room will be fine. It'll be a little echoey, but that's why you'd probably want to have a dynamic microphone. And there are mics like the Shure SM58, the Rode PodMic. Basically, they pick up your voice and anything that's directly in front of the mic, but nothing else. So if you're in an echoey hotel room, it won't really come through on recording. And if you have any background noise, you could use something like Adobe Speech Enhancer or Supertone Clear, or even if you're using Audacity, it's built-in noise reduction. It'll do the job well enough. Now let's go ahead and talk more about my favorite thing, audio gear, and what really should you use gear-wise for taking your show on the road. And it really kind of depends on how much you want to bring with you. Some podcasters take the more traditional approach of having microphones on microphone stands, and those microphones are plugged into a field recorder such as the Zoom H4 or H6, but you can't really move those around per se. So, I mean, that's really good if you're at an event and you're just in one place, or if you have a booth set up to record people. We did that, for instance, a couple of years ago at the No Barriers Summit. When we were doing the audio trekker psych, we had a story booth, basically, where people could go up to us and tell their story about vision loss, or maybe just talk about their experiences at the summit. And yeah, it was just a folding table with one mic set on one end of the table and one mic set on the other. And they were plugged into an audio interface into Jonathan's laptop. What I usually do is I like to do interviews more reporter style, and that is where you are basically holding the recorder and or microphone in front of people and facing them directly. And the caveat with that is that people do have a tendency to move around when talking, and it can make it a little easier to accidentally, I mean, it just increases the likelihood of picking up just rustling noises or what's called handling noise from moving the recorder and or microphone around. So it is a little bit more touchy, I guess, than if you were to have the mics on stands. Plus, yeah, since people tend to do a lot of moving around when they speak, you have to make sure that they stay in front of your mic or it's going to sound like this, and it's just not going to be good. It won't sound very good. And really the best way to keep them from doing that, they say make eye contact, but you know, if you're like me, you're blind, just facing them really is the best thing that you can do in this case. And as far as what I usually use to make those style of recordings, I just keep it nice and simple. For the longest time, I used just a simple Olympus DM720 digital voice recorder, and they still make these. You can still, I believe, pick them up on Amazon for around $130, but you'll be okay with that kind of recorder. It is harder to face it at people, though, and it is easier to kind of, if you don't have like a little windscreen over the top of it, it will pick up your plosives or, you know, pops a little bit more easily. But that's actually what I used for the CSUN interviews. And I, you know, you will have to maybe do a little bit of editing, but you should be okay. But actually, really, what I'd recommend is kind of a more customizable, a bit more of a higher end recorder. And honestly, nowadays for accessibility, I just Zoom is just the way to go for accessibility with recorders. And if you want to capture interviews, the best and most effective, or I guess the most affordable option would probably be, I mean, you could get the Zoom H1, which is kind of more like the DM720. But it has a set of two mics that are in stereo that are fixed on the top, and it would work for recording interviews on the fly, of course. But actually, I really think that if you do a lot of interviews like this, you'd probably want to get something like the lesser known Zoom H2E. I talked about it a few weeks ago. And the reason why I'm saying this is because the way that recorder is set up is that it allows you to face one set of mics directly in front of you and then have the person that you're talking to face the other set of mics. And the nice part is that those mics, of course, are independently adjustable. So if you're recording somebody and they're talking too quietly or too loudly, you can bring their level up or down on the recorder itself after the fact, which I do think is pretty cool. And it's definitely – it's unique to the Zoom recorders. And, of course, it's just the way they record and handle audio. Now, if you are using a set of stand mics or even I didn't mention lavalier mics, but if you do want to record with lavalier mics, those are the type of mics that you can clip onto your shirt. But either way, if you're dealing with microphones that are external to your recorder and need to be plugged in, you're going to want something more like the Zoom H4E or the H6. And the H6 is... honestly, that's kind of my dream as far as recorders, because you get four inputs. So you could actually plug in four mics to this recorder. But really, if you're just trying to keep it simple and interview one person, I don't think you need an H6. Now, the drawback, of course, with using field recorders is, you know, you do have to have a way of, you know, getting the audio off of the recorder onto something like your laptop. Or usually what I do is I use Dropbox, really, and I just have a folder that I upload those recordings into, and then I can edit them on my laptop. Another massive thing that I always recommend to anybody that wants to do any sort of field recording is spare batteries. Because recorders do have a tendency to eat through batteries, especially if you're doing a lot of recording, at least I'd say if you're doing at least 4 hours of recording, which honestly is quite a lot, have at least one, if not two, spare sets of batteries on you. Now, let's say it's worst case scenario, your recorder, maybe the batteries on your recorder just died, or hey, maybe you don't actually have one on you and you need to make a recording. You can totally, if you're in a pinch, use your smartphone and an audio recorder, such as if you have an iPhone, just press record, or now, actually, you could use voice memos as long as you're recording in, I would always record in stereo, but you can use your smartphone to do interviews. It won't be, it'll be good, but it won't be as seamless, in my opinion, as using a dedicated field recorder. You just don't have as much control over the way it sounds. And it, at least I haven't found a good app that will allow you to monitor your recording as it's being recorded. Because a field recorder, you'll have, honestly, you should have headphones plugged into it if you're recording somebody, so that you can monitor the recording as it's happening and make sure that nothing is happening on the recording that you'll have to edit out later, like, you know, bumping the mic continuously or the person that you're interviewing not speaking close enough to the mic. As far as editing audio, this is kind of a toughie, because really the best thing you could do to maximize content production and really just to make things easy on yourself, the best thing you can do is just have somebody edit for you and you just send them the audio. And that's where things like Dropbox come into play. Otherwise, you'll have to do the editing yourself. And honestly, you'll really want to just dedicate at least 2 hours of the time that you spend podcasting, that I would recommend dedicating that editing, because you could do what I did and just spend all of the time recording, and then you don't really have the energy or wherewithal to edit episodes until you get back after the fact. And then you have to release everything all at once, and it's just not a super ideal situation. Now, you could also, if you wanted to, you could do that. You could capture a bunch of interviews, and instead of releasing them as individual episodes, you could just make them into a compilation episode. And that's what I ended up doing with CSUN, not the original plan, but it worked and it was able to get those recordings out there to the audience. Now, on the subject of editing, one of the fun things that you will, of course, have to work with, especially if you're doing a lot of field recordings and if you're at events or just in a public place, is you're going to have to be dealing with a lot of background noise. And different podcasters have different approaches to how they handle background noise. So I'm just going to give my approach and take it or leave it. But I don't like to edit out the background noise. I like to keep it in, mainly because it helps to kind of create that immersive image of the event itself. Now, that being said, you know, you might want to use a tool, again, like Supertone Clear, to maybe tone down the background noise ever so slightly. But really, the best bet to your best thing that you can do if you're making recordings like that is just ensure that you and the person that you're talking to are speaking about 6 to 8 inches away from the microphone. And you might also, in fact, you really should, if you're using a handheld field recorder, get a little pop filter for it. And the pop filter will usually it'll go over the top, over the microphones, and this will just make it super easy to you won't have to worry as much about wind noise or plosives, because when I was at CSUN making recordings with the unfiltered DM720, that thing was I had to edit out a lot of plosives. And especially depending on the person you're talking to, some people do have a tendency to have harder P's and to have a bit of a more breathy, I guess, style of speaking, and that will get picked up. Plus, if you're recording outside in a windy environment, they make these pop filters that are they look cute. They're like these – they're fuzzy kind of. And basically that little – it's little fibers, and those little fibers absorb the wind and keep it from getting picked up. Well, you'll still hear it in the recording, but it won't ruin the recording. And a lot of news reporters and people that like to record like ambient outdoor recordings, a lot of people use that type of pop filter. Now, after a good day of recording, you are definitely going to want a break and a bite. And probably a sandwich of the week. So I order a lot from Mad Greens, at least once a week. And if I haven't talked about Mad Greens in BLT episodes before, that'll be surprising. I don't think I have, though. And usually, you know, you'd think of Mad Greens as, you know, a salad place. They sell bowls of salad. But they also do have wraps. And I always think a good kind of on-the-go snack, if you're, you know, just something that you can throw in your bag, is a wrap. I love wraps. I think they're delicious until they fall apart. And my technical sandwich of the week this week is actually going to be a Chipotle Caesar wrap from Mad Greens. You've got Chipotle Caesar dressing, romaine lettuce, tomatoes, which I don't care for, and shredded cheese wrapped up in a wheat tortilla. And it's quite delicious. I have had one before. So, yeah, my stretched sandwich of the week, Chipotle Caesar wrap from Mad Greens. All right, well, that's going to be it for this episode on podcasting on the go. If you decide that you would like to take your podcast on the road, yeah, just keep it simple. You know, if you don't have a field recorder yet, you can just get away with your smartphone. If you do want to get a good field recorder, like I said, Zoom is just the best way to go. And if you want to get serious with doing some field recordings and event recordings, make sure you've got a pop filter on that recorder. Definitely keep some spare batteries on you. Bring a laptop so you can edit on the go, and use something like Dropbox to store your recordings. And have fun. Just keep it fun. Anyway, hope you guys enjoyed listening to this episode. If there's anything that I missed, or if you have any questions about any of the topics I discussed today, let me know. And let us know. Send an email to feedback@aftersight.org or leave a voicemail at 720-712-8856. Really hope you enjoyed listening to this episode. I've been your host, Evan Starnes. And I'll talk to you guys again next week.